These words are taken from the first reading proclaimed. The Lord said to me, "You are my servant Israel, through whom I show my glory." Being glorified. One day at the parish, not here, but a family had come in to register and to become members of the parish. And so the priest had met with them and asked, he said, "Well, where are you going to live?" And they said, "We bought the old Smith farm." Well, the pastor was not quite familiar with it, but he knew that no one had lived on this farm for decades. So he could only imagine what it looked like. So he said, "Well, I hope that things go well for you." And the farmer said, "Well, why don't you come out this summer and then you can see how things look." So he remembered that. So about in mid-July, he drove out there to the farm and he couldn't believe what he saw. All the buildings were in great shape, were all fixed up. The lawn was immaculate. The crops were growing so beautifully. And the pastor said to the farmer, he said, "You know, God and you have done wonderful things with this farm." And the farmer said, "Well, thank you." He said, "You should have saw it when God alone was running it." Being glorified. You know, it's this time of the year on television you see the Academy Awards, the SAG Awards, the whatever else they are. And there's always, as you know, a number of people that are nominated, but only one gets the award. And it's almost consistent that they go up and say, "Well, I want to thank so-and-so and so-and-so, and I'm so glad this happened," and so forth. And sometimes they even get a bit political. But every now and then you do have someone that gets up and said, "I want to thank God for the talent for me to use to in order to achieve what I have done." They go to the real source of where that talent has come. It doesn't happen too often. But yet I wonder, is that true about us as well? We take glory when we do something very well. But do we ever go to the source from which that came? God giving us that talent and that ability to glorify Him. Once again, our first reading is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, which we have been doing quite exclusively now for since the beginning of Advent. But last Sunday and this Sunday, the first reading has been taken from what's called the Deutero-Isaiah, the second part of the prophet Isaiah. It is in this section that the people had lost their kingdom, were in exile. But the prophet Isaiah was foretelling that somebody was to come, someone great, so they can return back to their land. Now, last Sunday, we heard from the very first oracle, and there are four of them, to describe this individual who is to come. The prophet Isaiah had foreseen that the one to come would be a servant, which in some way I'm sure surprised the people. They wanted a king. They wanted a powerful general to capture and bring them back home. But they were told that the one who is to come will be the servant of all, and he will serve the Lord faithfully. Now today we take it from the second song or oracle of the suffering servant of God, and we get one more added dimension to this individual. The prophet Isaiah says that this one is going to glorify God in what he has been sent to do or will be sent to do. He will glorify God in what he will do. God will take tremendous honor and glory to see the one that he has sent, but in return, that one will glorify God for giving him the chance to bring the people back home to where they belong. Important how to glorify, to give back to the one or ones who glorified them. Perhaps a better way to describe it is, because I was a teacher and a principal for 15 years, is a student. I know that parents take tremendous pleasure to see what their students are able to do, especially when something is done well and done good. Not only are the students happy for what they have been able to achieve, but they give glory and honor to their parents. But we also know that the opposite is true as well. When a student has done something wrong, parents feel bad. They think they failed to maybe raise their children as they should have. And they take to heart what has happened. What this individual was to do was to glorify God. Now, scripture scholars don't know if Isaiah was talking about himself in this section, or was it someone else, such as another prophet, or is it the Son of God or the Messiah who is to come, which we know it was. God was going to take tremendous pleasure in the one he had sent. He knew he would do what he was to do perfectly, and in return would glorify him. I always try to think of an example of at least one person who has inspired me, one who I think exemplifies what we heard. I always think of St. Teresa of Calcutta, who people told her she was crazy to work with the poor and the dying in India. And yet she felt this call that she wanted to at least bring a smiling face to those who were dying. There was a man who heard about her. He was a reporter for the BBC in England. He was an atheist. He said, "There is no God." But he took up the challenge to go with her to see the work that she does. And when he had finished the documentary, he became Catholic. He said, "If there is anybody that could bring love, joy, and peace to people, it was her. And there has to be a God." But it's nice that we can talk about other people, but what about ourselves? You know, you and I too are to glorify God in what we do. God takes tremendous pleasure that we are called his children, and he calls his servants. But have we taken up the challenge to glorify God as Jesus Christ had done? So often our sins get in the way. So once again, I'd ask you to remember the call that you and I have to be servants, serve the Lord in this life, and to do it lovingly and graciously, so that as God wants us to be, we want to please God, we know that God is truly pleased with us. Let us glorify him, and in glorifying him, he will truly be pleased.
Our announcements this morning. Please check the bulletin for activities this week, especially the breakfast to be served after the 10 a.m. Mass on January 26 in the parish hall. There are about 20 quarts of chili that will be for sale in the hall after this Mass, and scrip is available to be purchased after Mass.
I also ask you to please take a copy of the bulletin home with you and to read it carefully, especially the letter from the bishop. The diocese has made public now those priests who have served in the diocese who violated the safe environment. So there is a letter there for you to read. I ask you to read it carefully, but also to hold on to this issue if you have any questions.